Grace and peace to you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. As we turn our hearts to God's word for us today, I'm reminded of the importance of these times of year that we return to similar stories every year. Because these stories have the ability to continually challenge us and encourage us and strengthen us. God's word continues to draw us to God. God's word by the Spirit continues to accomplish that for which it was sent, and it will not return empty, the prophet Isaiah says. And now I say this often. You've probably heard me say something like this when we come back to a text that we repeat every year. But I want us to do our best to hear this text today with fresh ears, to detach the assumptions and interpretations that we've heard before that we bring with us, so that we might hear God's word anew, like it was the first time. It's one of the reasons I'm so grateful that God has gifted us four gospels, written from four different perspectives and with different emphases. And if we listen carefully to our Palm Sunday reading today, for example, you might be expecting to hear things, maybe that Mark said or that John said, that they had to say about Jesus' entry in Jerusalem that Luke doesn't really mention. Here in Luke's version that we'll read today, for example, we have cloaks, but we don't have any palm branches. We have some disciples and some crowds, but there aren't any children in this version. And the sense of danger towards Jesus' life, I think, is heightened in Luke's version. You might hear that in the way that the Pharisees respond to Jesus' parade into the city. But I want you to see what you think. What sticks out to you as we read this morning Luke's account of Jesus' entry into Jerusalem from chapter 19. I'll be starting one phrase into verse 28 and reading through verse 40. But before we do that, let's pray and ask God to bless the reading and receiving of Holy Scripture this morning. Let's pray. Oh God, you are the source of all goodness and beauty and truth. And by your word, you give light to the soul, revealing yourself to us in the only ways we could understand. Pour out on us the spirit of wisdom, that our hearts and minds may be opened to know your truth and your way. In the name of the one who is the way and the truth and the light, we pray. Amen. Let us listen for what the Spirit is saying to the church today from Luke chapter 19. Jesus continued on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. And as he came to Bethphage and Bethany on the Mount of Olives, Jesus gave two of his disciples a task. He said, "Go into the village over there, and when you enter it, you will find tied up a colt that no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' just say its master needs it." Those who had been sent found it exactly as he had said. And as they were untying the colt, its owners said to them, "Why are you untying the colt?" They replied, "Its master needs it." And they brought it to Jesus and threw their clothes on the colt and lifted Jesus onto it. As Jesus rode along, they spread their cloaks on the road. And as Jesus approached the road leading down from the Mount of Olives, the whole throng of his disciples began rejoicing. They praised God with a loud voice because of all the mighty things they had seen. And they said, "Blessings on the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heavens." Some of the Pharisees from the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, scold your disciples. Tell them to stop." He answered, "I tell you, if they were silent, the stones would cry out." This is God's word for God's people. Thanks be to God. Albert Camus says that a person truly begins to become a human when they say no. He says that saying no to forces outside of ourselves is where we draw our boundaries and say to the world, this far and no farther. I am a person, and there are certain inviolable rights or dignity that I can't allow you to take from me. I am a self. He suggests that when faced with the absurdity of our world, one of the most life-affirming things we can do at the right time is to say no. Now, 6 out of 7 days, Hopper is a really pleasant kid to do a morning routine with, but on that 7th day, he is a self. He is a person, and he wants nothing more than to say no to any and every suggestion that he join us in getting ready for the day. And for that, in retrospect, I'm very proud of him. But in the moment, I get frustrated. In those moments of sheer, you can't make me-ness, my needs and his desires are at odds. And though he can't possibly understand this yet, some Fridays, Daddy has meetings. And so the battle begins. And there are intense negotiations, attempts at distraction, bribery. And if I'm not careful, and if I'm not grounded in my own self, I actually can still force pants on this child. Sometimes my baser response to you can't make me is, watch this. I absolutely can. But you know what moves things a lot faster in the long run, I learned? Like this past Friday, for example. One of the things that makes things actually start to get moving forward more quickly, after I foisted a t-shirt over his head and took a kick to the gut, the thing that actually got us on our way to daycare wasn't my strength or my might. It was when, shortly after his shirt was on, I came to myself a bit, and I took a deep breath and I said, Daddy needs to take a break. And I think we both need to take a break. And so he was put in his crib, and I took 2 minutes to walk into the kitchen and sip my coffee. And I took several deep breaths. And when I walked back into his room after taking that break from the struggle, the energy had shifted just enough to where he said, Hey, Daddy, I'm ready for breakfast now. And it was really smooth sailing after that. He took the lead. He ate his breakfast. He put his own socks on. And personally, I hope he always takes the time to get to the place where he's doing the things that are necessary, but he's doing them from a place of self-determination and self-esteem, and not out of the coercion of the people and situations in the world around him. And sometimes on the drop-off at daycare, I need to follow up our struggle with an apology. I'm sorry I got frustrated, bud. I'm sorry I got frustrated too, Daddy, he replies. Luke, in his telling of the gospel, uses the word peace more times than all the other gospel writers combined. Irene, peace in the Greek. And the question that the life of Jesus demands that we ask, perhaps nowhere in Scripture more clearly than in Holy Week, is the how of peace. How do we get to peace, to shalom, to the beloved community, to the kingdom of God between people and between our God that God calls us to? Do we get there by force, by power, by might, by brute strength, by threat of violence, by coercion? Or do we get there some other way? Is there another way? As you may know, scholars believe that there were likely 2 processions that happened on this day in Jerusalem. One from the west, where Roman authorities, in this case under Pontius Pilate, would parade their military might into the city. Rows and rows of peacekeeping troops would lead the march, followed by the generals and the governor on horseback. And then the other parade that day is the one we read about in the Gospels. Jesus entered the city from the east, riding the colt of a donkey, followed by his crowd of disciples making their way, singing and dancing, into the city.